And he would help wherever you needed help at any time. He was a good teacher, very fine teacher. People liked it, and he was one of these faculty who would meet with students after hours, have a drink with them or something in the local bar. Mm-hmm. And he got to be very friendly, and as a result, they learned a lot from him, not only in the classroom, but outside the classroom. Mm-hmm. But he was truly a professional in every sense of the word. Mm-hmm. And I know that O.W. Wilson, who was one of the pioneers in this business and was in charge of the program at California, asked me one day what I thought of him. So I told him I thought Ralph was a super addition to our faculty and did extremely well, was a good teacher, and was working on overcoming the speech impediment. And I used to visit his classroom occasionally, and he got over it completely. At the end, he could speak without having anything in his mouth. Mm-hmm. And he was helpful to the department, and he'd do whatever he could to give the department its status. And a good friend.
Were there any major cases that he was involved in or asked to consult with that you're aware of?
Yeah, there was one out on the West Coast. I can't think of the names of them. But I know Ralph was called in, and I think he was involved in the Kennedy assassination, as I recall. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked him to look at a piece of evidence.
I see. As part of the Warren Commission?
No, separate from the Warren
Commission. Oh, okay. All right.
It was subsequent to their activity.
Okay.
Somebody was pursuing what they'd done, I guess. Mm-hmm. There's another case that I can't think of that Ralph did. You should talk to Ornella.
That's true. The your own in your own work and teaching, you continued to teach while you were director. What were some of the courses that you were actually responsible for?
Yeah, I taught courses in law, statutory law. I'm not a lawyer. And I also taught a course in organization and administration. Mm-hmm. And I did that until after John Hanna called me in one day, said he had to talk to me, and I went in to see him. And I walked in, and without any warning or preliminary comments of any kind, he said, asked me to sit down, so I did. He said, "You're my new chief of police," just like that. I looked at Anna. I said, "You must be kidding." He said, "No, Art." I said, "I'm not kidding." He said, "I am busy with a lot of things in this department, police service on campus. It's driving me up the wall that they're doing things that are absolutely ridiculous. And I'm getting people calling me about them," and he said, "I want you to take over." I argued with him for probably a half an hour. I said, "President Hanna, I'm not qualified to be." He said, "Oh, yes, you are." He wouldn't take no for an answer. Mm-hmm. Well, to make a long story short, that's what happened. Well, you can imagine being on a grown campus in a community like this with students misbehaving. I lost a gun in a riotous condition on campus. Somebody just took it and ran. People all around me.
Oh, no.
But anyway.
This was during the 60s?
Yeah.
And the activism that was going on, war protests?
It just erupted on campus. But Walter Adams, as I remember, Walter Adams, when he was acting president for a while, we're in a mob of people surrounded by people just raising hell and screaming and yelling, and Waller couldn't control them. If Waller couldn't control them, I couldn't control them. But anyway, that's what happened. I became chief of police on campus. And needless to say, what I did initially was to upgrade the whole operation. And some of these guys who were jokes on the local police department, campus police, left. They couldn't and they didn't want to do what I had asked. I wanted a police department that was comprised of people who had been in college at least 2 years minimum, mm-hmm. and preferably 4 years. That's what we ended up with. In the process of doing that and insisting on higher standards of performance, these characters left. Mm-hmm. Well, in the process of doing that, this doesn't happen overnight, as you know. Well, I just became overwhelmed. I was called at night. I ended up buying a cottage up at Lake Huron so I'd get away from here on weekends, because mm-hmm. I was getting calls on weekends and so forth. So, in other words, I just didn't have time to continue with the teaching. And I talked to Hannah about it mm-hmm. before I gave up. And I said, I don't know what the dean's going to say, but Dean Weingarten, but I said, I hope somebody can explain to him that I just can't carry on in this way. He said, I don't want to kill myself. And I said, I think it's too much, because Hannah said it would, in 1 year, finally, listening to me complain about the assignment, he said, well, just straighten this out, or, you know. He said, get it in good shape, and he said, we will relieve you. Well, 13 years later, I was relieved.
13 years.
Yeah. And in the meantime, I had the dean on my side, you know. Mm-hmm. And he'd travel with Hannah occasionally. This wasn't Weingarten, this mm-hmm. was Seeley. Mm-hmm. Al Seeley, the dean of the College of Social Science. He'd go with Hannah on these trips Hannah would make, you know, to some of these countries. And he'd come back and tell me, he said, I'm trying to get him to relieve you. And I said, well, why don't you do it? He said, he won't do it. He said, unless you come in and personally ask to be relieved, he said, he will not do anything about it. I don't think he would if I did come in, mm-hmm. the way he's behaved when I took the job. I just couldn't carry on. I mean, with the kind of demands of my time mm-hmm. As the police official and responsible. And we had things going on the campus. We had one kid, I don't know whether you know it, but the campus has got a bunch of tunnels mm-hmm. underneath the campus area. And one kid used to get down there, a real smart young man, and he'd get into the chemistry labs and get materials for bombs. Hmm. And he'd make these bombs, then float them down the Red Cedar River. Mm-hmm. And then it'd scare everybody. They wonder, well, what's going on? These bombs going all over the river? Well, we finally found him. No, we didn't find him. I'll take that back. His dad came on campus. His dad was a dentist in Detroit. And he came over to see me, thank God. And he said, Chief, he said, I've been in my son's room and he's got some chemicals and things that look like they're explosives. And I said, really? And he said, well, would you come over and look at them for me? I said, well, with your permission, his permission, fine. Mm-hmm. We did. Then his dad talked to the boy, and the boy confessed that he was the one. So he said, don't charge him with anything. He said, let me take care of him. He said, I'll see that he straightens out. And he did. And I asked him what he was going to do, and he said, he's going to see that he gets in the military and completes his military requirement. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's what he did. We never heard from him again. Mm-hmm. Or the father.
They probably didn't put him in the Ordnance Corps, so.
And another guy was, he was stealing women's clothes off the clotheslines, or mm-hmm. wherever the women hung out their clothing, in the Spartan village. And this guy was really a perverted. Mm-hmm. And he'd take the clothes, and you know, they smelled it. Although these were clothes that had been washed. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it got all the women scared, you know, their clothes were disappearing. And so we set up an attempt to find out who was doing this. And one night our staff picked up a young man, who was married with a family, and arrested him. He was, brought him in, and we had his father come in. His father was a judge on one of the judges between a local judge and a Supreme Court judge. What they called him in those days, I've forgotten. But anyway, he came in, and I had a long talk with him. And I said, you know, we really should charge your son with the crimes that he's committed here. And he's obviously needs psychiatric help. He said, I'm aware of that. He said, if you are willing to turn him over to me, he said, I will see that he gets the proper help, psychiatric and otherwise, and you will never be bothered again. Well, like the other case, that's a lot of responsibility to take on,
mm-hmm.
and somebody could file charges against me.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Hannah, and I said, in both cases, I had to Hannah, I said, these are the things we can do. I said, but I don't want to do anything unless you approve it. And he said, well, you do what you think is best. So I said, okay, and in both cases, this wouldn't happen under my successor.
Mm-hmm.
He'd take him to court, mm-hmm. charge him, let him. But anyway, we did that. But that's part of my feeling for young people who need help.
Mm-hmm.
And we never heard from him again or from the family.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming everything turned out all right.
Mm-hmm.
These are the kind of things that I had, and this is why I didn't continue to teach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, when I got relieved, I started back in the classroom, but mm-hmm. by that time I was ready to get out.
Mm-hmm. Did you have you were chief during Hannah Adams' interim, and then mm-hmm. were you chief under President Horton then also, or?
No.
No, okay, so you hadn't been.
Got out.
At that time, yeah. I didn't ask you any questions about athletics later on. Were you, where do you see, or where did you see the tension between athletes and academics? Were you supportive of the athletic program? Did you have any contacts
at
with?
At the time I was in school and on the faculty,
mm-hmm.
there was no tension between, mm-hmm. people helped out.
Mm-hmm.
And, in my day, you had to travel by train. It took you a lot longer than it did today,
mm-hmm.
to fly to some place and be back that night. And we had to go, and we'd be gone for a week at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And the faculty were very cooperative. They'd make up things for you to read in your absence or give you a test. And I know in the math program, real nice guy, faculty member, would always ask me when I'd get back what I'd done, and he'd say, here are the things that you missed. Now, these are the things I want you to study and learn.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'll give you a test on these subjects and parts of this course, and if you do well, fine. So that's what they did in my day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what they do over there today, I don't know.
I mean,
and there was no... There's no animosity between the,
mm-hmm.
students, athletes, and the faculty,
mm-hmm.
and other students, mm-hmm. that I knew of. I never encountered any.
Mm-hmm.
I encountered nothing but cooperation, help in those days,
mm-hmm.
assistance, you know, if you needed some extra time, they'd take it.
Yeah.
I know, in one class, economics class, I was tired. I don't know where we'd been somewhere, and I fell asleep in the classroom. The instructor came pushing me. He said, Mr. Branston, he said, this is a class, you ought to wake up and listen to what's going on. I said, yes, sir. But no, I can honestly say that it was a good relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And they supported, of course, Hannah was a great supporter of athletics, as
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right.
And
well, that was my question. I mean, your support, obviously you had been an important athlete while you were an undergrad here, and then mm-hmm. as a faculty member, it seems to be an important part of the story of the last 50 years in particular, the rise of the university, both as in athletics and also academics.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, you were involved with, and that's why I wondered if you had any continuing contact with in athletics or just as a fan or that sort of thing.
I supported them, but I had no contact with them. If I knew somebody, I'd make it a point to help them if they needed help. Mm-hmm. But I have a different concept of law enforcement than most people. What bothered me when we teach in the training that officers get today and used to get and still do, I guess, the emphasis was on arrest and detention. You know, and that's still true in many cases today. Well, I'm a great believer in crime prevention. Mm-hmm. You can prevent a lot of activities, negative activities, by working well with individuals. I had a group of young men, for example, I cite this as an experience, a couple experiences similar to this, when I was a police officer in uniform in the 10th fourth precinct in Detroit. I had a beat. It was a triangular beat, and go up one side like this and come across on West 4th Street.
Close to downtown.
Is a major thoroughfare in Detroit. Mm-hmm. Are you from Detroit? Mm-hmm.
I'm not. I grew up north of Grand Rapids, but I did. I went did my research at the Detroit Public Library right on Main Street. So I know some of Detroit. So it was right downtown.
Yeah, right downtown. Mm-hmm. This is way out toward River Rouge.
Okay.
4th Street runs out that mm-hmm. way. You know, it's one of the main thoroughfares in the city, and apparently they had a bunch of kids. 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old youngsters racing hell. Now this is, well, I was with the precinct, and what happened, there were two drug stores in the precinct, and on this beat, two drug stores. One was owned and operated by the sister of the mayor of the city of Detroit. The other one was a private guy who encouraged the kids to hang around his place. If they hung around her place, her drugstore, which they did, she would get angry and call the police department, and they'd come out and they would swear at these kids. And you're too young to remember, but in those days, alleys were paved with stones, white stones, paved, if we want to call it that. And these kids would get these stones, they'd throw stones at the police. Well, needless to say, these guys couldn't catch these kids. They were young, they'd disappear in the neighborhood, you know, mm-hmm. just like flies. But anyway, they decided this college cop that had been assigned to the 4th Precinct should take a stab at this problem. And again, I said I believed in talking to people and visiting with them and saying what the problem is and helping them if you can. So I went out there and I started walking this beat, and they had to call in every hour. We had that call system, telephone. And I got to know many of the kids. I urged them to call me Art. They did, but they... Vandalism was still going on. Cars were being beat up, and tires were stolen, and you know, the kind of thing kids will do. And they had a leader, a kid that was as big as I was in those days. So one night at they had an activity going on at the high school. It was a high school in the area. Off the beat, off my beat, obviously, but high school. There was some social affair going on, play or something, and I made my call in the call box, and they asked me to go over to the high school and check on it because there were a bunch of kids there and they were disturbing the activity, the play. So I went over there and there's these kids that I've been talking to. So I called them together and I said, "No, look, this has got to stop." I said, "You can't keep on." And the leader, their leader, so-called, was there and I said, "You got to get out of here and stop this. And you can't do these things and get away with it. Now, I'm telling you bluntly and frankly that if you do, you're going to get in deep trouble." And I said, "If you want to fight about this, fine." I said, "I'll take my jacket off and put my, and we'll go to it." Well, I need to say, this kid looked at me and he couldn't believe it. And all of a sudden he turned around and left. Well, psychologically, I had these kids right where I wanted. He lost face in that group. And from that point on, those kids didn't do anything wrong. And I got one of them to go to CMTC camp in those days, Citizens Military Training Camp. And I found some of them jobs they looked for. These are the kind of things, and worked out real well. Mm-hmm. This vandalism stopped and this college cop was doing pretty good, you know.
Mm-hmm. So you'd had some psychology too.
Absolutely. Some of them, and it worked real well. And
Did you continue that emphasis on crime prevention in at the School of Criminal Justice?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And we talked about getting an interest in young people or people's lives, helping them if you can, and do that sort of thing. Yeah.
Cheaper expenditure then.
Absolutely.
And later on for incarceration.
Yeah. And we'd help kids in school. It's like, I was a kid that was stealing the women's clothing, the youngster that was stealing chemicals out of the chemistry department. He'd go through these tunnels, by the way.
Yeah.
Forgot to mention that. He'd get up in the chemistry and other places, apparently. It worked. Well, I got transferred. When I was transferred, folks from the route, my beat, came down to the station asking they not transfer. It was real, I never forgot that.
Mm-hmm.
Real nice of them and one of the great experiences that I had. And it just proved what I believed, that you know, you can be kind to people. You don't have to arrest everybody, throw them in jail. And that's what they did in those days. They still do it.
Mm-hmm. After your retirement, were you involved in community activities in East Lansing at all?
I worked closely with the chief of police, Charlie Pegg, who since died several years ago. Charlie is a lieutenant, one of my lieutenants, came out of the service when we hired him as an officer, and he became a lieutenant. I worked with him, but that's about it. And any time we needed help, and incidentally, when I was chief in East Lansing, the departments were consolidated into one department. And Hannah wanted them separated, ultimately. So he asked me to make a study of this, which I did, and recommended the separation in those days. And that's what happened.
When you first came to campus, did you anticipate that you'd ultimately end up being here for as many years as you did?
In fact, I had a job offer in security work, I had problems with that, and they had problems with me because I was a reserve officer, and this was prior to the war, obviously, and whoever it was that made the decision must have realized that I would be ordered to active duty shortly, since the United States quite obviously was going to get involved. Mm-hmm. In this war in Europe. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. Mm-hmm. So I didn't get the job, and I would have been in security work in the corporate world if that had not happened. So, But anyway, it was an interesting career. I've never regretted it. The money wasn't good. You know, even at Michigan State, the most money I ever made at State, as director of the school, chief of police, two jobs at the same time, $35,000 a year.
35.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? Yeah. That's what
it was. Hard to raise a family on that amount.
And we got along. I did a little consulting work, obviously. Mm-hmm. I used to make about $10,000 a year on consulting. Mm-hmm. That helped, but and it's incredible what's going on over there these days in terms of the salaries. And my job, my whole philosophy, was to upgrade the whole concept of law enforcement from one of arrest and detention to one of crime prevention. And you couldn't define crime prevention because they said, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. Well, it's what you do with people. You help people, you become friendly with them, you become acceptable. Your advice is sought, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, I think you're going to do well. Mm-hmm. And you make friends. And that's what I did. And I, today, I say, I'm delighted to read about these openings that occur in chief's jobs. They want somebody with a bachelor's or a master's, and some with PhD on campus. We have this guy who came out of the Flint Police Department. One of her graduates has got a PhD.
So your experience as a college cop continued then?
Yeah, absolutely.
In the professionalization of the forces.
Professionalization, that's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. And of course people laughed at me, you know, in those days. Mm-hmm. You're out of your mind. Well, I encountered some then in Detroit, obviously, you know. Mm-hmm. They just didn't believe in it. Mm-hmm. These people would come out to this beat I was assigned to. It was an Italian neighborhood, so most of the people were immigrants, and their kids just did what they thought they wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Not a lot of respect for the police, probably.
Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. The woman, of course, didn't help, you know, this sister of the mayor of the city, but that's the way it was. Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to thank you on behalf of the project, and I appreciate you, the time you spent and also your insights.
Good luck.
I do appreciate it. Thank you.
I don't know what else there is to tell you. See, is there any segment of this that might be of interest to you?
Did you have any children that came to the university?
That's a good question. Oh. I have one that graduated here. My oldest son, Art Jr., played ball there. My kids went to five different schools, five boys, five different schools. Hmm. Our son John came here, started the year, didn't like the big university and all that it implies, and said he didn't want to continue here. I said, fine, where do you want to go? He said, I'm going up to Ferris. So he went up to graduated from Ferris. And then Bob went to junior college for 2 years, now in Florida. And Mike went to a small liberal arts college in Nebraska. And Jimmy, the youngest, went to University of Michigan. And we have a lot of fun with him. And he keeps telling me when we ride him about Ann Arbor. He said, Dad, did you ever go to Rose Bowl? He went to two. Played for Bo Schembechler. Interestingly enough, Bo and he are very good personal friends today. And Bo is a hard-nosed football coach. I came back, I was in Detroit one day and was coming back here to East Lansing, and it was on a weekend, Saturday, and I knew that Michigan was having its spring practice. And I thought, well, I'll stop in Ann Arbor, see how Jim's doing. Well, I did. That poor kid, 250 pounds, 6'4" or 6'5", bloody, dirty. And I walked up to him. I said, Jim, how are you doing? He said, Dad, I'm getting clobbered. Oh, boy. It's interesting how these things work out. Mm-hmm. But today, they go on trips together. Mm-hmm. Bo's mellowed. Well, I don't want to take more of your time.
No, that's fine. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I hope it helps.
I'm sure it will.